Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. Our Poem of the Week this week is Liffey Swim, written and read now by Jessica Traynor.
Liffey Swim. In the dream, the Blessington Street basin fills with the Liffey's stout bottle waters, but still the swimmers come in droves on the stray sovereign of an Irish summer's day. The river courses towards the quays, turning concrete roadways to canal banks that shrug their shoulders into dark water. A man rises, seal-like in his caul of silt, to wave. At the sluice gate where the river bends out of sight between toppling buildings, a black dog jumps again and again into water. And there at the edge of vision, my parents, ready to join the swimmers, gesture their cheerful farewells.
That was lovely, Jessica. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Liffey Swim is your debut collection, sir, we should say. Liffey Swim is also the name of the poem and the collection itself. And it, what possessed you to title the book Liffey Swim as well as the poem?
Well, it's really interesting. I think the most challenging thing around a first collection is trying to kind of sift through all of the stuff that you've written. And I think most first collections take a lot longer to create than maybe subsequent collections. Mm. So really, Liffey Swim is about 10 years of my life.
Okay.
Whereas hopefully the next collection will only be 2 or 3 years of my life distilled.
Yeah.
So I had to try and find a way to, or even a kind of a touchstone poem that really tied it all together for me. And I think for me, Liffey Swim was that poem. It was the poem that seemed to bring a lot of the different themes and concerns and images of the collection together.
That's really, yeah, because I was just rereading it just before we came on air there, and the image that really leaps out at me from the poem is the ending, and it's kind of I suppose oxymoronic, if I can say that, that it ends with a farewell, and it's slightly poignant and slightly melancholic, but it happens to be a cheerful farewell. So it was slightly confusing, I suppose, for the reader, and that's what I felt. I felt like I was grasping for what you were trying to say.
Yes,
I suppose.
Yeah, I was definitely going for a sense of ambiguity, because it's actually one of these poems, and this I think always sounds slightly pretentious when it's coming from a writer, but it actually, I had a dream. It kind of came to me in
Great.
A dream. I was away from home, and I think often the best writing about home happens when you're away.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I was in London, sleeping on a friend's sofa. After a night out, so maybe the night out had something to do with it, but I woke up and this poem had kind of formed itself in the dream, and I wrote it down on the nearest thing to me, which was a theatre ticket that I pulled out of my handbag, and I wrote it down. And the next morning, now often when you do this as a writer, you wake up in the middle of the night with a brilliant idea, and then the next morning you go, what rubbish I thinking? But the poem kind of came to me, and I made very few changes to it. But the poem, it is kind of full of dream imagery, and I think that it has a mixture of fondness for Dublin. I mean, to me, when it came to me, it was a very beautiful image of the city, but there was also a kind of a darkness to it. It's a two-sided poem, so it has this kind of beautiful sunlight, or what I hope is beautiful sunlight throughout it, but then a lot of imagery that I suppose is about my love for the city, but also things like my parents getting a bit older, maybe not being well. There is a slight anxiety that runs through it that I think means that it's pulling in different directions in a way.
Shrugging their shoulders into the dark water. Lovely.
Yeah.
Because you really do, you're mapping Dublin to an extent, because we should tell the readers that there's three parts to the collection, and anybody from Dublin will be familiar with the three parts. There's the daughter, the Liffey in the middle, and the Talca bookending it. Or did I get that right? The Talca is...
Yeah, the Talca. The Talca is the last one.
Talca is the last one. Why did you make that decision to split it up into the three parts?
Well, in a way, again, it came back to that notion of you're trying to distill such a large amount of your life into kind of something coherent. And I suppose I would have spent the earlier parts of my life living very near the Dodder.
So there is a geographical...
There's a chronological and a geographical journey. And then for the last 10 years now, I've been living right beside the Talca in Ballybock. So I suppose those are the two, you know, my younger life and then my adult life. Mm. And then the Liffey in the middle is a kind of a bit more... I was thinking, I suppose, of the Liffey of Anne Olivia in Finnegan's Wake. And I thought, here's my license to be able to... throw a lot of different things in there. So in the middle section there are Liffey poems, but there's also a lot of kind of historical stuff
and stuff
that's a little bit more off the wall, maybe
a bit mythical and stuff. Yeah, and you get a bit mythical as well, because as well, when I was rereading it today, I can't remember where I read this quote now, but I'm fairly sure it's a Brendan Behan quote, maybe you know it. He was claiming that Joyce was trying to make the River Liffey as the Ganges is for India, this amazing life-affirming source. And it really, you get a sense of very, very mystical power of water in general in your collection. Yeah. What kind of force is water?
I suppose, you know, it's that old kind of cliche about you can never stand in the same river twice. You know,
lovely.
There's that sense of, I suppose, of the permanence of a river and yet the totally transient nature of it too. You know, it's always changing.
There's another thing that struck me, and we talked about how you're mapping Dublin in a sense in this collection. It's the reader who gets to travel this journey. It's like you're the boatman on the Styx, you know, and except we're not dead and it's not the Styx. Did you know, or do you have a plan where you're bringing the reader?
I would hope so. I mean, I suppose the kind of poetry that I like to write is poetry that I think kind of wears its secrets a little bit under the surface. Like, I like the notion that people might have to read the poems a couple of times to tease out the exact meaning. But I also think that with this collection, I suppose I was trying to bring people on a kind of that chronological journey of, you know, poems that deal more with youth. You know, thinking of Blake's Songs of Innocence and Experience.
Lovely,
But, you know, and then I suppose poems, more contemporary poems of mine that kind of deal with a different kind of life and existence. But I think there are always poems that ask questions as well. I kind of like poems, or I try to write poems, I suppose, that ask the reader to engage with something in a slightly different way and look at things maybe from a slightly different angle than they might have. I suppose that's really the aim of all poetry to some extent.
Yeah. Jessica, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming
in. Thanks, Morgan.
And the best of luck with the new collection. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
We can't forget that while this series celebrates poetry, we're also using poetry as a medium to celebrate important dates in our calendar. The Liffey Swim is one of Dublin's most famous sporting events, and the 2017 Liffey Swim will be the 98th time Ireland's swimmers will brave the cold and murky depths of Eoin na Liffey. The race was first organised in 1920, and on that first day, 27 male swimmers took part. In 2016, however, 267 men and 147 women cleaved a path through Dublin, much to the delight of the many spectators who lined the quays and bridges to cheer on the mad souls who found Dublin's primary river an agreeable place for a dip. The race was immortalised in Jack B. Yeats's 1923 painting simply entitled The Liffey Swim, which won him the silver medal for painting at the art competitions at the 1924 Summer Olympics in Paris. This week's poem, Liffey Swim, by Jessica Traynor, features on her debut collection, also entitled Liffey Swim. Jessica currently lives, teaches and writes in Dublin. Jessica won the 2011 Listowel Poetry Prize and the 2013 Hennessy New Writer of the Year Award, and more recently she has featured in the Irish Writers' Centre's 1916 commemoration project, A Poet's Rising. Liffey Swim is published by Daedalus Press. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.